In the gospel reading today, we hear about these people who want a sign from our Lord. And he simply says, no sign is going to be given to this generation. It's a human thing to want all these signs and wonders and all kinds of things. The question that we really have to ask is, what sign would be sufficient? We'll never be satisfied. If the Lord provides a sign, then we're going to say, well, but this and that. We need another different one. We need another. We need something bigger. We need that. We need. We need Jesus. Period. We don't need signs. We don't need extraordinary things. If we would open our eyes, we would recognize that there are loads of signs all around us, that the Lord is doing extraordinary things every day. And yet we completely ignore them. We're looking for something that is going to touch our senses somehow, and we think that that's going to convince us. It doesn't. Because what happens with signs and wonders is that we ooh and ah at them today, and tomorrow we've forgotten about them. Then we're looking for something else that's going to just do whatever it is we want it to do. So the question really is, how do we get this deep within us? How do we get that faith down deep so that we're not always just being tossed about? It's exactly what we hear in the first reading as well as in the psalm. It's the afflictions, it's the difficulties, it's the suffering. When we go through those things and we continue to pray and we remain faithful to God, then the faith goes deeper and deeper and deeper within us. It's not just on the surface anymore. If you're made to suffer, you're certainly not oohing and aahing over some extraordinary thing that just happened. And in the midst of the suffering, we don't see that there's anything good that can happen. We only recognize it after the suffering is over. And we look back and we can see all the good that God brought about from it. We see that we're stripped of some of our selfishness. We see that there is a deepening of our faith. We see that there is a change that happens within us so that we become more compassionate. We see then that we are more charitable. We begin to notice that there is a lasting value that is there. Signs and wonders are like fireworks. They're really cool, and then they're gone. Big deal. It's the things that are going to change us, the things that are going to last, that are the most important. And sadly for us as human beings, that only happens through the suffering. It may be, for instance, you can look at some of the saints and there are these extraordinary conversion experiences. We can say, yeah, that changed them. But then they move beyond that. And what followed? Lots of suffering. Because just having a conversion experience isn't enough. It's still going to keep everything right on the surface. God wants a deep faith. God wants a profound love from us. And that's going to require not just a surface level change, not just a change of our mind to be able to say, well, okay, I used to think that wasn't true and now I think it is. Well, that's nice, but that's not enough. There needs to be a change of heart. And there needs to be a conformity to Christ. That means that we have to die to self. It means that anything that's not of God has to be stripped from us. That's not easy, it's not quick, and it's not fun. And yet the fruit of it is so beautiful and so profound that that's exactly why the saints tell us that we ought to be rejoicing when all of these things happen. So again, you read the first reading. These are the very first words of the letter of St. James. So he greets the people, and then the very first thing up is, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Really, that's the first thing you're going to tell us? That's how important it is. So again, you stop and think about it, as I keep trying to point out to people, we buy this nonsense of the gospel of health and wealth. God doesn't want me to suffer. God just wants me to be happy. God just wants all kinds of easy things for me. Show me one place in the Bible where it even suggests anything like that. And if there's anybody who would know that Jesus did everything and therefore I don't have to do anything other than just believe in him, it would have been the 12 apostles. So this nonsense that, oh, no, if you're suffering, it's because God hates you, it's because God's angry, it's because you did something wrong. Consider it pure joy when you encountered various trials. Boy, that doesn't sound like what the apostles of Jesus Christ taught us. Do we recognize how the devil has twisted all of this stuff? And he is destroying people's faith. And he's trying to take it away, telling us that God wants something that isn't what God wants, and convincing us that if God really loved us, he would do whatever it is that we tell him that we want him to do. Nonsense. God wants us to be saints. Period. God wants us to be saints. How do we become a saint? By becoming conformed to Jesus Christ crucified. Not by fun, not by excitement, not by signs and wonders, by the cross. Not happy news, but very good news, because that's what will set us free. That's what will conform us to Christ. That's what will change us into the persons that God made us to be. That's the mystery that the saints understood. That's why they teach us to rejoice when we're suffering. And if we're not rejoicing yet, all that tells us is how far we have to go. Saint Teresa tells us that until we're through the fifth mansion, 5 out of 7, till we're into the sixth mansion, suffering is just suffering. We don't recognize the good. God's doing a lot of good with it, but we don't recognize it. And so, if we're not at the point where we can rejoice in it yet, like I said, we can then see how far we have to go. A long way. That's why the suffering has to be there, to strip us away from all the selfishness so that we can be conformed to Christ. And in being conformed to Christ, we are conformed to love. That's what we're made for, to love and to be loved. All the other junk gets in the way of it. That's why the Lord strips it all away, so that what will remain is the glory of God shining through us, through the charity, through the truth, which will then be ours.